Will you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So then, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I repeat it. So then, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee for Thy great love towards us. We thank Thee for Thy abundant grace. We thank Thee for giving Thyself to us in such a way that we do see Thy glory, the glory of Thy love, the glory of Thy grace, the glory of Thy faithfulness. O Lord, may Thy glory fill this place. We do sense that this is holy ground because Thou art here with us. Lord, we want to move our shoes, acknowledging that we are but Thy bond servants. Lord, what Thou hast to say to us, say it. We will listen, and by Thy grace, we will obey. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. We have been fellowshipping together on 1 Corinthians. As we mentioned at the very beginning, even though this letter to the Corinthian believers is always considered as a very negative letter, because the church in Corinth has so many problems. Problems that they knew, and many more problems they even were not conscious of, but were very serious problems. But thank God, He is always positive. So His servant, Paul, in writing this letter to the Corinthian believers, you find that throughout this letter, He always took a positive stand. He began with this declaration, God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, dear brothers and sisters, can any statement be more positive than this one? God is faithful. He has called us into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. There is nothing that is more glorious than this calling. Think of that. We are called by God into this fellowship that his Son and himself have, even from eternity. What a fellowship that must be. How rich that must be. How harmonious, one, perfect, abundant, spiritual is that fellowship. The fellowship of the Father with his Son. And the fellowship of the Son with his Father. They're sharing together the same, equally, and one. And yet this fellowship has been extended to us, even us. You know, brothers and sisters, the very thought of that overwhelms me. That we are being called to come, to enter ye, and to have a share. Even in this glorious fellowship, to know him and to know him in his fullness, in his purpose, in his heart, in his desire, in his way, and to have such fellowship with one another. Just as the Apostle John said, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And what we have known, we report to you, that you may have fellowship with us, that our heart may be full of joy. Brothers and sisters, think of this calling. How precious is this calling? Have we really responded to that calling? But it is true that there are many problems, many things that will be contradictory, even opposing, resisting, destroying this wonderful fellowship. And there is nothing more destructive than what the Corinthian believers have committed. And that is carnality. Even though they were saved by the grace of God, even though they have received the life from above, the life of Christ, pure, perfect, spiritual, heavenly. And yet, instead of living by this life, they still continue to live by their natural life, self-life, flesh. And this became the greatest hindrance to the fellowship. So here Paul was trying to help them to see, to get out of this state, that they might really enter into this wonderful fellowship. And the secret, of course, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Only if they could see what our Lord Jesus has done for them on the cross. Only if they will allow the cross to work in their lives, then they will be delivered from their carnality and will really enjoy that sweet fellowship with Christ, the Father, and with one another. So that is what 1 Corinthians really is. Now we have shared together a number of times on 1 Corinthians. Actually, brothers and sisters, to me it seems as if when you come to the end of chapter 14, it says, "But let all things be done calmly and with order." You know, there you find Paul was dealing with this matter of gifts, spiritual gifts, with this matter of how to exercise these gifts, with the matter of how we should meet together. And he said, let all things be done calmly, beautifully, harmoniously, peacefully, and with order, with divine order. No confusion, no mistake. To me, I feel this verse seems to be the end of this letter. Everything, if everything is done calmly and orderly, then what more can you say? But we find that when Paul seems to be coming to the conclusion of his letter, he remembered there was something else that was just as important that needed to say. So here you'll find two more chapters, as it were, of being added. We have this morning chapter 15. You know, chapter 15 is a chapter on resurrection. The reason was, Paul discovered that among the believers in Corinth, there were some who said, there is no resurrection. No such thing as a resurrection. You know, even at the time of our Lord Jesus, the Sadducees, the leading party in Judaism at that time, in priesthood, they did not believe in resurrection. Because from their human reasoning, resurrection seemed to be out of the question. No such thing. But to Paul, not believing in resurrection strikes at the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said, I make known to you, brethren, the glad tidings, the gospel which I announce to you, which you receive, and in which also you stand, and by which also you are saved. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul received from the Lord and delivered to the Corinthian believers. They receive it, they stand on it, and they are saved by it. See, that is the very foundation. And yet, there were some who did not believe in resurrection. So here you find the Apostle Paul in dealing with this matter. Again, he took a positive stand. He reiterated what a gospel is. He said, what is that which I deliver to you in the first place? Verse 3. For I delivered to you in the first place what also I had received. That's what I received from the Lord by revelation. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. And that it appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then He appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the most remain until now, but some also have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to an abortion, He appeared to me also. So in other words, what are the cardinal, the chief articles of faith, of the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is that Christ Jesus died for our sins. And He was buried, but He was raised from the dead and appeared living to many who are His. That is our belief. That is our faith. Now, if any does not believe in resurrection, you know what does it mean? It means that they did not really receive the gospel according to what is written in the Word of God. It is against the very truth of God. You know, anything that is added to the gospel as revealed in the Scriptures, or anything that is taken away from the Scriptures, you find at the end of Revelation that it is a serious thing. Because He will be taken away even from eternal life. There is no eternal life if anyone does not believe what the Bible says or add more to the Bible. The Apostle Paul tells us in this chapter. He said, if anyone does not believe in resurrection, then everything is vain. What we say is vain. We become false witnesses. What you have received is vain. Because it doesn't work any longer. So you are still in sin. Even though you say you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you reject resurrection, then our Lord Jesus has not been raised from the dead. So your faith is vain, it doesn't work, and you are still in sin. Nothing has happened. Worse than that, we become false witnesses. And the apostle said, now if believing in the Lord Jesus is just for this life, then we are the most miserable of all men. Why? Because if you really follow the Lord, You have to pay a cost. You have to suffer. And if there is no life after death, then why are you doing it? You are the most miserable people in the whole world. There is a direct connection between truth and life. In other words, in verse 33 it says, evil communications corrupt good manners. What you believe will result in how you live. Evil communications corrupts good manners. You cannot divide these two things. Truth will give you the right kind of life. But anything that is falsehood will lead you astray and you corrupt your life. That is for sure. So, brothers and sisters, you find it is extremely important that we believe whatever is in the scriptures. Never add anything to it, nor take away anything from it. As in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 22, it says, to the law and to the testimony. Everything is to be judged by what the word says. So in this chapter you find Paul. Not only he reiterates the cardinal articles of faith, the gospel. He also tried to explain to them, to a certain measure, the order of resurrection. Christ will be raised first, as the first fruit. And then we who believe in him, we also will be raised. He even tells us, because some people say now, if there is a resurrection, what kind of body you will have. So Paul tried to explain that it is like a seed you plant. And when the seed grows, it takes up a body that God has given it. Everything has its own body. What you plant in is a mortal body. But in resurrection, it is an immortal body. What you're planting is a natural body. But what comes out in resurrection is a spiritual body. Brothers and sisters. And then he also tells us, when will resurrection happen? He said, in the twinkling of the eye, at the sounding of the last trumpet, the shout of the archangels. Then those who are asleep in Christ will be first raised. And then who are still living on the earth will be changed. And all will be caught up to the air to meet the Lord in the air. So brothers and sisters, here you'll find a great chapter on resurrection, telling us what is resurrection, when will it happen, and how does it happen, and what will happen in resurrection? That is according to the scriptures. Now, brothers and sisters, we would like to use this to enlarge it, to cover all kinds of false teachings. Because any teaching that is not according to the scriptures. Any teaching that adds anything to what the scripture teaches, or take away anything from what the scripture says, is a heresy. And this is a very serious matter. You know, even from the beginning of human history, God's truth was challenged. You find in the Garden of Eden, God said, you can eat all the trees in the garden. Even that one in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, was not forbidden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you should eat, you should die. Now that is God's word. That is the truth. But you find there Satan tempted Eve, questioned God's word, trying to add so much more to God's word. He said, did God say you cannot eat any tree? Now, if he was, Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat any tree, then they will die because they will have no food. Oh, Eve say no. God didn't say that. God said we cannot eat that tree nor touch it. Now, something is added, right? God never say you cannot touch it. So you find that when you try to put more in it or take away anything from God's word, that is heresy. False teaching. And what is the result of false teaching? Adam and Eve lost their glory. They discover themselves naked. They hid themselves among the trees from the presence of God. They couldn't face God anymore. But thank God, He was merciful. He prepared a salvation for them. He clothed them with the skin of a slain animal. But they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. So, brothers and sisters, wherever there is truth, there will be falsehood. Or you can put it even in reverse. If there is falsehood, there must be truth also. Otherwise, where will be the counterfeit? If you find a counterfeit currency, note, counterfeit $50, $100 note. You know there must be the true, the real currency there. But false currency could not be used. It's not only useless, it's a crime. So brothers and sisters, you find that from the very, very beginning of the history of mankind and throughout human history, especially among God's people, whether it was with the children of Israel in the past or with the Church of God today, you find false teachers, false prophets, falsehood, heretic teachings are always there. That is the reason why we need to be careful. You know, when you read all the letters in the New Testament, beginning with Book of Romans, up to Revelation, you find that even in the first century, in all these letters, you find there is the presence of false teaching. For instance, in Romans, you say Romans is a full dissertation on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet you find in it, say in chapter 6, Paul said, if there are someone who says, let us continue to sin that grace may abound. Now, what kind of teaching is that? You can continue to sin. Because the more you sin, the more abundant will be grace. Paul said, God forbid. That's a false teaching. We who believe in the Lord Jesus should not commit sin. Thank God, even if we slip and sin, there is a provision for us. That's the mercy of God. But we should not continue to sin as if grace will always be there. 1 Corinthians, of course, full of false teachings. And because of false teachings, corrupt living everywhere. Galatians, another gospel, because they add law into grace. Believing in the Lord Jesus is not enough. You have to keep the law. Be circumcised. Now, what kind of teaching is that? Added to the gospel. And Paul said, that's another gospel. Ephesians. Now, you will say Ephesians, well, everything is very, very positive. There is nothing negative in it. That's true. But even in that chapter, in that Ephesians, you'll find you have to learn to put off that which is of the old and to put on that which is of the new. So there is still the danger that we may still live according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. Colossians. They love the Lord. They seek the Lord. And yet, they are told they will not be complete. They want perfection. But they will not arrive perfection unless they believe in some mystic teachings and if they practice some certain rituals. That's Colossians. 1 Thessalonians. There are some who said that resurrection has passed. Therefore, those who are still living and believing in the Lord Jesus had no hope. And 2 Thessalonians said, the day of the Lord has already come, so you are too late. Now, the day of the Lord is the judgment of God, so you are too late. Now, what kind of teaching is that? Now, of course, when you come to. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, Philemon, and all these rest, you will find that it seems as if there is always false teachings, always false prophets at all times. And that is the reason why you find at most, you find that when you come to the later epistles, there is always that warning. For instance, the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, he tells us we are living in the last days. This is the last days. And in the last days, there will be false teachers. People will be lovers of self, pleasure, the world, instead of lovers of God, lovers of truth. Dangerous day. And we need to be very careful. The Apostle Peter, when you read 2 Peter, you find that's the end of the days. And when you come to the end of the days, there will be mockers. First, second, third, letters of John. There you'll find, he said, little children, we are in the last hour. The spirit of Antichrist is everywhere. In 1 John, there is a teaching. Do not believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus. See that he's just a man. Reject him as the Son to the Father. In 2 John, it's just the reverse. There is a teaching denying that Jesus, that Christ, has come to be a man. His humanity. And of course, in 3 John, you'll find the result of it. That Theotrophus, how he became such a tyrant in the church. When you come to the book of Jude, he said, I'm going to write to you about our faith. And then I feel I have to contend. Because people even denied our Master, our Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if this is true at the end of the apostolic age, how much more it is real to us today. Thank God he's working everywhere. Thank God the gospel is preached all over the world. But at the same time, whenever the gospel is preached, whenever the Lord is working, Satan is also working. False teaching, false prophets, everywhere. False messiahs, false Christ. Especially as we are coming to the end of this age. All these things will increase. many will be deceived. And you'll find in the Word of God, again and again, warning. Warn us to be vigilant, to be careful, take heed. Do not go to sleep. Brothers and sisters, so you find that how are we going to face such situation? You know, brothers and sisters, the number one thing when we are surrounded with all these things. Now let me put in another word. If a lie is a black lie, as it were. It's all lie. No truth in it. Nobody will believe it. But if it is a white lie, as it were, there is some truth in it. And yet there is mixed with lots of untruth. That is the thing that can deceive us. To me, I feel one thing. As long as we live in this world, don't be ever so confident of yourself, that you will never be deceived. If you ever think that you are beyond deception, you are already in deep deception. The Apostle Paul says, I do not trust in the flesh. Once we trust in our flesh, thinking that we will not be deceived, we are so knowledgeable, we are so spiritual, we know everything. Brothers and sisters, you are the one who will fall into deception. You are the candidate of false teaching. Never trust in yourselves. No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how long you have believed in the Lord, no matter how knowledgeable you think you are, the danger is, once you lose your watchfulness, the enemy will come. So never trust in ourselves. Now, if you don't trust yourself, then who can you trust? Trust the Lord. There is one who is trustworthy. Do not trust in any man. No matter how spiritual that man is, trust the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I know that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Commit yourself to the Lord. He is the only one who is able to keep you from falling. Seek the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. Never take a position that you are above deception. Humbly commit yourself to the Lord, and the Lord is able to keep you to the very end. Thank God. He has given us some provisions to keep us from falling into deception. As a matter of fact, if we really listen to what the Word of God says, even a baby in Christ will not be deceived. You know, oftentimes you'll find those who seem to be more knowledgeable, more spiritual, they fall into false teachings faster, easier than those who are babes in Christ, newly born. Why? Because in 1 John chapter 2, we are told, you know, in 1 John chapter 2, he says to the children, little children, verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. And according as ye have heard that Antichrist comes, even now there have come many Antichrists, whence we know that it is the last hour. Verse 20. And ye have the unction, the anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son has not a Father either. He who confesses the Son has the Father also. Verse 24. As for you, let that which ye have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what ye have heard from the beginning abides in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he has promised us, life eternal. So, dear brothers and sisters, you find God has provided two most important provisions. Number one, his Spirit. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, even the firstborn, even the newly born child of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. He is the anointing, holy anointing. He is the one who keeps you in Christ Jesus. He is the one who teaches you in all things, big things, small things. He is the one who will tell you what is true, what is untrue, what is of God and what is not of God. The anointing, the Holy Spirit within you will teach you in all things. Now, that's the reason why you find in the New Covenant. You know, in the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit has not yet dwelt in human hearts. So, in the Old Testament time, if you want to know any truth, you have to be taught. Because the law is written outside, not written upon your heart. You have to be taught. Know the Lord. But in the new covenant, you don't need anyone to teach you, because you have a teacher within you. He will teach you in all things. We will know him inwardly. If it's not he, we will know. We will know. Now, how do we know? You just know. You know, I knew a brother who was newly saved. He went to Boston. We were in New York at the time. He went to Boston. He was newly saved. He didn't know much. He didn't even know much about the Bible. But when he went to Boston, he heard something. And when he heard it, he sensed in his heart, this is not true. He didn't know how to refute it because he didn't have knowledge. But inwardly, he knew it was not right. So when he came back, he talked with me and told me about it. And sure enough, it is a false teaching. It concerns the deity of our Lord Jesus. So brothers and sisters, if, after we are saved, we will really walk in this inner way of life, that is to say, not depending upon what people say to us, but depend upon the Spirit of God in us. If from the very beginning we are careful to listen to our inner voice, we will be delivered from many falsehood. But unfortunately, most Christians do not do that. When the Holy Spirit moves within us, we neglect it. Oh, we hear so many voices that we do not have the quietness to hear what the Spirit says. But even with a child, a babe in Christ, the Lord has made provision for him to deliver him from anything that is outside of the truth. If only you listen. That is one thing. The anointing that you have received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as the same unction teaches you as to all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as he has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Then we have another thing, the Lord's provision, what you have heard from the beginning. That is the Scripture, the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Word of God before us. And these two agree. Because every Scripture is God-breathed. It is profitable for teaching, conviction, correction, instruction. Brothers and sisters, that's why we need to study the Word of God carefully. Not carelessly, carefully. Because the Word of God, the truth, will tell us what is true and what is untrue. If we hear something that is added to the Word of God. Or we hear something that is taken away something from the Word of God. Be careful. This is untrue. So you'll find God has given us these two ready provisions to keep us from falling. Then I will add another one to it, and that is the protection of the body of Christ. We as an individual, we cannot live all by ourselves. You know, God saves us individually, but He saves us to bring us into the family of God, to become a member of the body of Christ. It is not God's will that we who are saved should live by ourselves alone. You know, there is a false kind of teaching going around. If you learn to live with your brothers and sisters, you will meet many crosses. As our brother said, you know, do not think that the cross you meet comes only from the world. More crosses come from the church. If you really live a church life and body life, you will find you will encounter more crosses than if you just live in the world. That is God's provision to purify us. We have a false idea. In the world, we have suffered too much. People are so crafty, cruel. Let's go to the church. And if I'm with believers, my, that's paradise. Well, it is paradise disguised. Because this is the proving ground, training ground that God has prepared for us. If you cannot stand your brothers and sisters, you cannot stand the Lord. I have seen people who have known the Lord for years, advance in the Lord. And yet, when it comes the time, they got away from the church, meeting with God's people, because they couldn't stand the sufferings. They're all by themselves. They think they can go on like that. Eventually. We need the protection of the body of Christ. We need the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. We need to be told, corrected, encouraged, confirmed by our brothers and sisters. Do not think because you know it, so that must be right. You may be wrong. Be humble enough to be corrected. Be willing to be corrected. willing to be helped. Thank God. That is a provision He has provided for us. And I do hope that we will really make good use of it. Finally, with all these troubles we face, what should be our final attitude? Are we being so discouraged that we just give up? No use. The world is just full of lies. The world itself lies under the great liar, the greatest liar, Satan. And even in the church today, it seems not much better. Give up. What is Paul's exhortation? That's the verse we read in the very beginning. 1 Corinthians 15. He ends this chapter with a very positive attitude. So then, what, in spite of all these false teachings, difficulties, trials, so then, my beloved brethren, be firm. Be firm. Do not be moved, immovable. If you stand in Christ, if you stand in the Word of God, if you stand in the teaching of the Holy Spirit, if you stand in the body of Christ, immovable. Abounding always in the work of the Lord. Not because of all these problems. You don't labor for the Lord anymore. Work harder. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And then if you turn to the last chapter, chapter 16, verse 13, be vigilant, watchful, stand fast in the faith, quit yourselves like men, be strong. Wonderful. And we would like to end this with Jude, the last verses of Jude, verse 24 and 25. But to him that is able to keep you without stumbling and to set you with exhortation, blameless before his glory, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, and authority from before the whole age and now and to all the ages. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, we want to thank you. You are the only one who is able to keep us from falling and to bring us before thy glory with joy. May glory and honor, majesty and power be unto you forever and ever.